السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, it's a great honor and privilege to be asked to speak at this wonderful gathering. Alhamdulillah, I have lots and lots of friends here, and it's always good to speak at an audience like this. There are two ways to lead our lives: the way we want, or the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for us. Whichever way we choose, we will be held accountable for that when we meet Allah. The issue with living the way we want is that our knowledge is limited and our desires rule us. The benefit of living the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live is that He knows what is best for us and guides us to that. And since the accounting is with Him, inshallah, if we live by His way, then the day we meet Him will be a day of rejoicing. I remind myself and you that to live is not merely to draw breath. That is the way animals live. They are slaves of their drives, they follow their desires, and one day they die and the story is over. Humans, on the other hand, have the option of living like animals, fulfilling every desire, or of living a life of purpose and leaving behind a legacy of honor. That is the choice which we must make. To underline that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set the standard where He said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. الله سبحانه وتعالى said in Surah Al Imran, which means every soul will taste death, and you will only receive your full reward on the day of judgment. Whoever is spared from the hellfire and is admitted into paradise, into Jannah, will indeed triumph. Whereas the life of this world is no more than the delusion of enjoyment. Let us give some thought to this and ask how our lives compare to this standard. Success and failure in life are products of the choices we make. The Quran and Sunnah guide us to the best of them, the path of those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded and not those who angered Him. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdallin. A quick history lesson to come to the topic of my lecture today, which is facing challenges. The Industrial Revolution, which is roughly 1760 to 1840, changed the basis of society. It was less about assembly line or automated manufacture and much more about changing how people thought and what they valued. There were three major changes that remain with us to this day: aspirational values, parenting, and teaching. This changed society fundamentally and gave us the world that we have today. In an agrarian society, in an agricultural society pre-industrial revolution, parents were also teachers. Children knew what parents did and learned those life skills from them. Usually the roles were gender specific, Mothers taught daughters the skills of housekeeping and animal husbandry, caring for children, including complex matters like assisting in childbirth and dealing with health ailments. They were also schooled in manners and traditions and customs and practices, both religious and cultural. Sons followed fathers to the fields and workshops and learned the skills of planting and carpentry and handling animals. They also learned how to make and repair farming implements and machinery and troubleshoot problems. The skills learned by both genders were critical to survival and life quality, and being gender specific created a positive dependency one on another. In agrarian societies, parents are mentors. Parents and grandparents are mentors. They are very respected roles, and they are also teachers. Their experience matters, and they have huge moral authority. Joint families are the norm and are a support system for raising children and caring for elders. Every family member, irrespective of age, has a place and usefulness to the end of their days, and so is valued. In this country, to this day, you can see this among the Amish culture in Pennsylvania and elsewhere. The Industrial Revolution changed all that. Clothing and fashion, gender roles and responsibilities, authority structures, the concept of freedom itself and accountability and the basis of value all changed, mostly to suit the needs of an industrial society. In all this, the fundamental change was with what people valued and therefore benchmarked themselves against. That primarily became money. Three critical aspects of society became industrialized and became businesses and profit centers: parenting, education, and healthcare. In my opinion, this is at the root of all that ails global society today. When that which was to be done for love is done for money, something fundamental changes. The results are evident. Mechanized agriculture eliminated small farms, and machinery eliminated the need for farm animals. Factories needed people, so both parents went to work, and raising children was industrialized and outsourced to strangers. Daycare and schools became businesses, and education became conflated with skill training. Since teaching of manners, culture, social skills, the ability to get along with people, kindness, compassion, citizenship, caring for commons, and a host of other things which are symbols of civilization and critical to life cannot be monetized, they were ignored. As a result, education, which was for life, became merely for earning a living. As a result today, and you can check for yourself, most children don't know nor care about what their parents do. How many of you know what exactly your father does or your mother does? That's a very small show of hands in this whole big room. Most people, young people especially, are disconnected with the earth and nature, and frankly wouldn't survive a week left on their own. Parents think that throwing money at children is a cure for all evils and fulfills all needs. By the time they realize their mistake, it is too late. Joint families broke up, and with that the sense of identity, cultural links, and responsibility for others, including taking care of elders. Grandparents, who were the link with the community and the repository of tradition and culture, lost their position and role, and loneliness became a major killer despite people being financially far better off than they were in the old days. The daycare person and school teacher were strangers, often from different cultures, different religions, different value systems, who naturally imparted those to the children. I'm not against learning other ways, but when children learn those without knowing their own, those become their own. Children experience alienation from their own culture and religion and fall into confusion, which in some cases results in loss of faith. All that I'm saying has to do with the reason why we do something, the niyyah. When parents, teachers, doctors and lawyers became concerned about bottom lines and profit margins, it is a sign that cancer has spread in society. That cancer is called predatory capitalism. When you define net worth as the amount of money a person has and nothing more, then we should stop wondering at the results. Just ask yourself, when was the last time we defined net worth as knowledge on character, kindness, mercy, commitment to justice, to human rights, to freedom for all people? This is what Rasulullah ﷺ changed. He changed the switch in the head and the heart. He changed the concept of net worth from Abu Lahab to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And that changed everything. Today we have come full circle and nullified that. That is the reason for endless wars, because war makes the highest ROI, the highest return on investment. War makes profit, and that is why we have wars. The purpose of wars today is not to win territory, is not even to win the war, but to continue the war forever and ever. When the only thing that matters is money, then human life and values and ethics and morals are all distractions. To continue with this or not is in your court. The future belongs to you. And it is for you to decide what you want it to be for yourself and your children. Today, we are in the middle of another revolution. The artificial intelligence revolution, the AI revolution, which is further dividing and isolating us. Some of our modern ailments are loneliness, leading to depression and worse, obsession with instant gratification, disconnectedness, emotional distance, fear of death, diminishing social skills, and reduced attention spans. All are symptoms of a fatal malaise that destroys the cohesiveness of society and concern for one another. It's not for nothing that Rasulullah ﷺ defined his ummah as one body, where if the head aches, the whole body feels the pain. Do we see that today? Today, one of the biggest killers for elders is loneliness. They have children and grandchildren who have no time for them. Add to this the psychological manipulation of consumerism by influencers, pushing those influenced to buy more and more and more. Research shows that singles buy more than married people, and therefore the institution of marriage and the importance of raising families is undermined and discounted in favor of so-called independence and freedom. We don't stop to ask, freedom from what? And what is the benefit of this freedom? Technology gives us today free access to vast databases and the ability to acquire knowledge in almost any area and flexibility in ways of learning. Potentially, this opens the doors to multiple career choices, but the tools to make good choices come from reflective observation of life and abstract conceptualization to extract application lessons. This technology cannot give us. These are mental and spiritual tools learned from wise mentors who are willing to share what they learned if you can convince them that you are worth their time and effort. Because knowledge without experience is merely data. To paraphrase from Mark Twain, who said this about the difference between the right word and the almost right word, experience is as different from mere knowledge as lightning is from the lightning bug. In my opinion, there are four attitudinal skills that are critical to success in facing life's challenges. Winners have a high tolerance for ambiguity. Number two, they are willing to admit mistakes. Number three, they are willing to learn. And number four, they are highly resilient. The enabler of all this is humility. Tolerance for ambiguity is essential because life, by definition, is a daisy chain of unknowns. If unknowns freeze or frighten you, you can't move forward. What helps is to use tools like probability analysis, scenario planning, and so on, and chart the best path forward. The goal is sacrosanct. The approach can and should be modifiable. The core of this is tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Complete and total reliance on the plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us. We do our best and we trust in His wisdom. Willingness to admit mistakes and willingness to learn are related. Learning doesn't always come from mistakes, but very often it does. Making mistakes, if done intelligently, shows the willingness to take risks. As they say, the one who risks nothing gains nothing. But more often, people are so afraid of the potential embarrassment of admitting a mistake that they stay with denial. We can see some very glaring examples of that globally, but it happens at the individual level also. The result is the same. Everyone knows you are wrong. By denying it, you lose respect, and more importantly, you learn nothing. But if you had focused on learning, then the cost of the mistake is merely your fee for learning. I have 5 questions that I ask myself when I make a mistake. What happened? What could have happened? What is the cost of the mistake? What should be done next time? And what is the way to foolproof that process? Document and move on. So my question to you is, how do you deal with the mistakes that you make? Finally, the most important thing is resilience. I have a nesting box outside my window. Last year, a pair of old world sparrows made a nest and they raised 3 chicks. But sadly, a blue jay found them. And in about a week, despite all my efforts, the blue jay killed all those chicks. The sparrows were distraught and very distressed. And then, when it was all over, guess what they did? They rebuilt the nest and they raised another brood, this time of 4 chicks. And they all survived. And that is why they have more sparrows than blue jays. Resilience is the ability to get up after disaster and continue. As they say, you don't lose a race when you fall. You lose it when you fail to rise. As the Chinese saying goes, if you fall 6 times, get up 7 times. Today we have live streaming to us one of the finest examples of resilience the world has ever seen, in living memory anyway. From a place called, what? Gaza. That is a symbol of the greatest strength that you can ever imagine. And one day, it will change the world. My brothers and sisters, this life is like a fertile field. It will give you a harvest of whatever you plant, but only of what you plant. We get what we pay for, so be very careful what you plant in your life. I want to end by saying to myself and you, it is time to stop living by default and to start living thoughtfully and deliberately. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to what is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which doesn't please Him, because in the end, that is the only thing that matters. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you very much.